And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, or is it Villy? We'll go with Willie today. He may put me on the list today at noon. He disclosed
Villy
yesterday.
Only for fun. Not,
he does not,
with not any
like
prominent.
Villy.
Well, no, it's fun for... Well, I think the question was, should we just start calling him Villy permanently? Wasn't that the question?
Well, I jokingly fun with it. I was, of course, having fun. Of course, that wasn't serious.
I'm into fun.
Wink, 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 wink. I was giving Max Herz, who's on the board at our Hillside Medical Game Studios, kind of the origin of where Villy was hatched. I took him back to that day on the show. And I don't even know. My memory is certainly partly cloudy every day.
Partly cloudy with a chance of showers.
It's not just Fridays after the show when I'm three margaritas in. Like, that's really, like, mostly cloudy. But partly cloudy every day with nothing. I know we were talking a lot. You kept bringing up, we were talking Vanderbilt, and you just, Vandy. And I was like, you know, Vandy Willie. And then something like to the effect of, I said, or is it Villy? And I think that's how it all was hatched. Now, again, that's my partly cloudy memory. Do you see it that way, or do you have a different version of the story?
I don't even remember. I don't know if that was exactly.
So we're going with my partly cloudy story.
Yeah, I'll go with your partly cloudy story. Sorry. No. We'll have to check the tape.
Yeah. We could. But I'm pretty sure I hatched Villy, and I think it was because you kept saying.
Oh, you definitely hatched it. You and D-Mace were together in cahoots.
You just kept bringing up Vanderbilt.
I did?
And yeah,
that I don't remember. I thought it was a hockey thing.
No, you kept saying V, all these Vs, and I was like, gosh, this is – no, because I remember going, this is Vandy Willy, and then it was like, or is it Villy? And that's how it started. I'm pretty sure. I feel pretty good about that, but maybe we
now,
do.
That doesn't ring a bell, but I don't remember how it happened. I thought there was some hockey stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was an original Predator named Ville Pelton.
Yes, there was. who you were never cross-referenced with ever when he played for the Preds. So that was never hatched then. We know that. But there was that for the Preds. Did you see last night down in Sunrise, Florida? I knew it. This is. I was like, why did I pick against the Lightning? So dumb. So dumb. So ridiculous. They've won two cups in a row for a reason. They just have it. And last night they had it with 4 seconds to go, or 3.8, whatever you want to call it. It's unbelievable.
That one stings if you're the Panthers.
Oh, they're done. I'm here to tell you, they're done. You can't recover from that. You're done.
Wow.
You heard it first. They're done.
Well,
this is, again, me changing my pick. I'm picking the Lightning now in this series.
Just a major breakdown. If you didn't see it, just sort of look, have I been that guy who's made a big, big mistake at a big time? Oh, yeah, I've been there. So I don't mean to get on the guy, but it was amazing to hear and watch. Because if you watch TNT's coverage, they have a lot of great analysis. They tend not to pile on and rip anybody. And they didn't do it. They did it in a sort of a classy way. But, man, every single one of them said, what is that guy thinking? Right? Mackenzie Weegar, who's a great player. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason Florida is the President's Trophy winner was Mackenzie Weegar, who was considered just a few years ago to be just another defenseman. You know, pretty good guy, pretty good defenseman, not bad, whatever, you know. He's made a big jump. He's turned into an excellent defenseman. That's how your team rises up above in the salary cap world. But, man, did he make a big mistake last night. He made a fundamental error going after a guy who was not a threat in the closing seconds of regulation behind the net and left a man wide open in front of the net. Mm. And sure enough, Nikita Kucherov took full advantage, made a beautiful pass right on the tape, and Ross Colton, right? Again, all these philosophical questions we have about the Predators. How do you build a winner? Well, Ross Colton, I think, was a fourth-round pick. Last year, nobody ever heard of Ross Colton. He all of a sudden starts scoring goals for Tampa, and he makes the play and puts them up 2-0, two road wins in Florida, going back to Tampa. Now, I don't know if Florida will be totally out of it. I got to believe there's something better than that, but that's a death blow right there, if there ever was one.
Done. D-U-N. Done.
Crazy stuff happens.
Oh, man. I just got put out in the spelling.
That was just a shock. A shocker.
Yep. So, that series is over. So, congratulations to the Lightning. They're on to the conference finals. They'll await the winner of the Rangers and the Hurricanes, which tonight will be game two. But how about the Blues last night?
Looked like a totally different team.
I remember when I put out there this was going to be an interesting series. This is going to be so easy for Colorado. Okay. 1-1, heading back to St. Louis. I still think Colorado's going to win it, but I said this is going to be a fun series to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm picking the Avalanche, but I am going to tell you, I think St. Louis is better than both Calgary and Edmonton. I don't know if that's a stretch to say Edmonton. I think St. Louis is better than Calgary. I think they're the second best team in the West. So this reminds me a lot of the series between the Predators and the Jets a couple years ago, where you got two teams out of the same division having to play each other in the second round, and they might be the two best in the conference. And I give St. Louis a lot of credit because they looked overmatched in the first game. They were lucky to get to overtime, but they were just simply the better team last night. They absolutely just beat the Avalanche. They beat them in their building, which almost never happens.
Yep.
In terms of just being the better team for 60 minutes, that has not happened much in Denver the last couple years, but that happened last night. So that's a pretty good confidence boost coming back. And Jordan Binnington is playing Jordan Binnington of 2019. And he was lost. He lost his job in the middle of the season. He lost to Billy.
He lost to Billy.
It all comes back to Billy.
It all comes back to Billy. But he's back. He is back, and Billy is on the bench.
Billy's on the bench. And Billy is a free agent. So that's going to be an interesting guy to watch in the offseason.
Donovan Franklin on our text line says, yeah, and Tampa didn't even have Braden Point. Yeah, we got it, Donovan. Yeah, thanks. I get it. Okay, I've already said. It's a bad pick. Kristen Gallatin on our text line says, I believe you guys were talking – oh, this could be on. Chris could be on to something. That we were talking about the new Vanderbilt logo.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
I think Chris and Gallatin nailed it.
It was the new V.
It was the new V. I think that's right. Hey, that's right. Back to sunny skies.
Sunny skies. The clouds have been lifted.
The clouds have been lifted, and Chris and Gallatin is correct.
He's correct. That's right.
We were talking about Vanderbilt and the new V. And that's how we hatched Billy.
I have no new material with the new V. I guess I'm going to have to wear my vintage V tonight. I'm going to go to the Hawk tonight for game two, Vanderbilt against LSU. There is a group of pre-Tim Corbin former players that will be gathering tonight. So watch out. Watch out. We're going to be in attendance. I don't know if we'll be heckling the other team like we used to from the dugout sometimes when we were way behind in the game. But we're going to have
some
fun tonight.
That was the case last night, sadly.
Unfortunately, we can relate. There were a couple of times where we faced those LSU teams of the early 90s and found ourselves behind early.
Yeah, we had a kid who missed practice last night. One of his parents is a huge LSU fan, and he's a big Vanderbilt fan. And his parents last weekend, we all went out to eat after our Saturday pool play. They were like, hey, Coach, would you have a problem if we miss Thursday to go to the Vanderbilt LSU game? And they never miss anything. I'm like, heck no, go have fun.
I'm sure they had fun.
Half of them. I was thinking of the kid on our team, and I was like, got home from breakfast last night, turned it on. I was like, yikes. It was 8-2 at that point, or 9-2, and then I kept seeing LSU hit home run after home run, and I was like, well, at least he got to see some home runs.
Let the record show, though, that Darren is a player's coach for the Tidal Wave.
Well, I mean, look, why would you – I mean, of course I want him at practice, but they're at everything. Why would I, you know, to have an opportunity to go see a college baseball game? Go, man. Vanderbilt, yeah. LSU, how do you say no to that? Like, you know, come on.
Resident LSUer, Caroline Fenton, could not get a ticket for this weekend. I was talking to her about it.
Exactly. That's another thing. They had tickets, right? Like, you got to go.
It's a tough ticket.
Go. You got to go. Although, when I turned it on, certainly wasn't a packed house. At that point, I guess people are like, it's Thursday. I'm going home. This one's over. I was like, oh, there's a lot of empties. And then I looked at the score. I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense now. All right, we're going to come back. There's something that's kind of just, I don't know, itching at me that I want to discuss on the other side. But right now, I think that Screwball Chase is in studio and wants to talk about something. He wants to talk about Screwball. Yeah, it's not Screwball Chase. It's Chase who wants to talk about Screwball. I think that's
I have some really bad news, Darren. It's me, Max, from the radio station, not Chase.
I told Chase,
Screwball, at the end of the segment, you want to come in? So maybe if we talk for 20 seconds, he'll hear it and come down from his office.
No. It's too late.
Things are getting screwy. Yeah, in the offices.
All right, we're going to – oh, boy, just shaking our heads. We'll come back. I want to get into something on the other side. By the way, Tim Hasselbeck will join us at 11 o'clock. He had to move this week for TV purposes, so he'll join us to begin the second hour. You're listening to the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. There he is. There's Billy. There he is.
The cobwebs are gone.
I see the light. Oh, good stuff.
It's going to be right. a bright,
it is
sunshiny
gonna be a,
day.
It is.
It's going to be hot, too. I've already done my jog today, Darren. I think I'm still sweating.
Yeah. Well, you've been known to have a towel handy for the beginning of shows.
Yes, I have. Hal Gill is the one. He always says this to me because I have been known to do this on the road as well with the Predators heading to the morning skate. Willie, the shower didn't take, huh? Hey, Billy. I get it, yeah.
Yesterday we played the presser, the Preds end of the year presser, David Poile and John Hines. And so we spent most of the entire show talking about that yesterday. And, you know, a lot of good stuff came out. We had Elliot Friedman on and we discussed that, but kind of like the aftermath. And this has been brought up even before this. And I don't understand this mentality. And I would like some clarity from people who want this to happen and how you handle that, how you do that. I would love to know. So here goes. There's a school of thought, or there's a camp, there's a group of people that believe, hey.
A camp? Where is this camp?
Well, I mean, it's summertime. It's close to summer.
Yeah, okay. It's camping season.
It's the time to use a camp reference, okay? People are going to be camping here soon. Blow it up. You got to blow it up. Tear it down. Like, what are you doing? Just tear it down. You got to get that generational player. Okay. All right, fine. We've already talked about this on the show. This is not new ground. Okay. By the way, there's no guarantees. That does anything for you. The last time I checked, that Connor McDavid guy's pretty darn good. How's Edmonton done with him? Now, I know they're in the second round right now. Let's use Austin Matthews. How's Toronto done with that generational player? And by the way, he produces every year. What do you have this year? 60 goals?
He had 60 goals.
60 goals.
He and Connor McDavid are both Hart Trophy finalists.
Did they play three more games in the Preds? Certainly, they did. Yep. Did they get any further than the Preds? No, they didn't. They didn't. And they haven't. They haven't been out of the first round either. So I get it. Okay, all that being said, they're unbelievable talents. Nobody would pass on those guys. Everybody would take them. But that's not even the point of this. The point of this is, okay, so just so I have this straight, you want to tear it down to try to go and get those guys. Okay, so my question is, what are you doing with Roman Josi? What are you doing with him? You have arguably the best defenseman in the league. He's basically Aaron Donald of the NFL. Okay, so what are you doing with him? You're just going to let him play on a crappy team? Or are you taking him to the pawn shop? What are you doing? What are you doing with him? Okay, we talk on the show all the time about having that guy at quarterback, right? Now, I'm not certainly saying UC Soros is Tom Brady or is going to be Tom Brady. I don't even think he's Aaron Rodgers. I would say today, Vasilevsky is the Aaron Rodgers in the NHL. Can we agree on that? Right?
Yes.
Everybody identifies him as the best goalie in the league. Maybe he's not even Mahomes. But who do you identify as like the next guy? Is he Josh Allen? Yeah, it could be Josh Allen. So if you have a Josh Allen on your team and you're not succeeding, are you going to think about blowing it up when everybody's trying to get that guy? The Predators have a Vezina finalist in net. A finalist means top three goalie in the league. So you have the quarterback, the guy that everybody says, get the hot one, and boy, you can go far. Everybody's trying to get that guy. Everybody wants to have the guy in net. Very few do, as we've seen in the playoffs already, right? There's been third stringers, backups. It's been all over the place. It hasn't been, other than Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky, there hasn't been a bunch of $10 million a year guys in net. Go look at some of the salaries that have been playing net in these playoff games. Doesn't mean that they don't want to have that guy. So you have that guy. And so what are you doing with him? So you're going to, again, are you keeping him to be crappy? So you think you're going to be crappy with one of the top three goalies in the league? So when I hear people say, tear it down and get that generational player, well, what are you doing with the pieces that are some of the best pieces to have in the league? What are you doing with those guys? You just taking them to the pawn shop? You going to keep them? Well, you can't keep them. That's not truly tearing it down. How are you going to tear it down with one of – you think Buffalo is going to go to 2-15 with Josh Allen? No. Even if they take a bunch of pieces away, he's good enough to win them games. Yeah, they may be average, but they're not going to be 2-15 or 1-16 to get the number one pick. What are you doing with all these other high-priced guys that you've paid these contracts to? Johansson, Duchesne. Obviously, yep. Forsberg's a no-brainer if you're in this camp. He walks. Goodbye. Got nothing for him. I hear all these people talking about, you got to do this. How? With no guarantee. What do you do with these pieces? What do you do with these guys? So you honestly want to, you just want to take them to the pawn shop and just get pennies on the dollar? Is that what you want? You know, for all this, oh, you can get three first round. Look, you're not getting the Deshaun Watson haul, okay? That's not happening. That's not going to happen in the NHL. So you're not going to get true value for them, real value. So you just want to, you have those guys, ones that all the other teams are trying to get, and you're just going to pawn those off? And what? You're going to still support this team? Really? Interesting. The people that keep bringing this up, and that's including the media, it makes no sense to me. Like, honestly, like, call into the show. We'll book you. You can come on the show, and I want to hear your plan for this. I want to hear how you're going to go about it. Like, just don't throw it out there. That's just a line. Anybody can do that. What's your plan? What are you doing with UC Soros? What are you doing with Roman Josi? You keeping them? Well, you can't. It's impossible. How are you going to bottom out with those two guys on your team? So you're just going to give them away? What about those other high-priced contracts? What are you doing with them? What about a guy like Tanner Janot? Are you keeping him through the process? Are you trading him away too?
Well,
your plan?
Look, the plan is complicated. And no matter what you choose as your plan, it's hard. That was the theme of David Poile yesterday. Say what you will, okay? And if you want to just look at one soundbite or one quote and take it from there, then that's one thing. But if you really listen to the entire press conference, as we did, he said a lot, right? It was a philosophical discussion. It was in depth. They weren't skirting how they have tried to go about it. I don't think there's any, like I've said from the start, I don't think there's any mistaking what the plan has been. And David shared his philosophy. I think you could argue, you know the old saying, Darren, your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. And I feel like that's probably something you can apply to David Poyle. He said it yesterday. My philosophy is to be good every year, for better or worse. That's his philosophy.
That's what started the conversation. How could David think like that? David's like, we're absolutely not tearing this
down. He puts you in the mix every year. Some years you have more of a loaded team than others. He started to get into it the other day. Like, in my mind, you have to only judge him since the salary cap came in, because that's when they have been on a level playing field. So that's since 2005. Before that, they were an expansion team in a non-salary cap in a tiny market. They had no chance. So throw those years out. But since then, since they've been on a level playing field, they've been in the mix almost every year, 15 out of the 18 seasons. They've made it to the playoffs. Now, if you think how do you judge that? Is that good? Is it bad? Whatever. Now, his philosophy is, I want to get into the mix every year. And what his argument has been is, some years we have a better chance to win than others. Some years, while we're trying to shuffle, and he said, he made an interesting point yesterday. He goes, everybody's always constantly building and rebuilding and reloading. That's life in the salary cap. You always have difficult choices. And some have a philosophy of, okay, look, we have no choice. We got to break it down. We're going to be bad, so let's be bad and build it back up. Others have a different approach. But his approach has been, I want to have a good team every year, and when the Ducks are in a row, we have a chance to win it. In my mind, and I think in his mind too, it's happened twice. At the beginning of the salary cap, when they had Thomas Fokun and they had Paul Kariya, and they had a lot of homegrown guys that were coming into their own, like a young Shea Weber, a young Ryan Suter, they had a chance to win it, and unfortunately they didn't, right? That was heartbreaking. When you look back on it, that stunk, because they were the higher seed. They had some. There were reasons why. One year, Thomas Fokun couldn't play in the playoffs when he was a phenomenal goalie, and then the second year, a lot of guys got hurt at the wrong time. And then the other time was, of course, when they came on the cusp of winning it in 2017 and then came back the next year as the President's Trophy. Those, other than that, they've all had good teams, but they haven't ever broken it all the way down. So, again, greatest strength, greatest weakness, that's the philosophy.
Yep. John from Nashville on our text line, says, tanking to get a generational player isn't guaranteed. Look at Buffalo. They got Jack Eichel. Now he's in Vegas, and they're still rebuilding. How many years have they been rebuilding? It's been like a decade. Look, all that being said, we've said that. Like, you can – I don't have a problem with if people believe that. Like, okay, then the response that we've talked about on the show is, okay, but there's no guarantees, exactly what John said in the text. There's none that this is going to work. But, okay, that's fine. But I'm not even talking about that. Like, I'm pushing – like, I want to know, like, you know, we've had fun at your expense about the plan, which has gotten your juices flowing, which is great for the show. But I just want to know, what's your plan to tear it down? What are you doing with it, your current roster? That's what I want to know. Like, just throwing that out there. Okay, fine. Then what are you doing? Everybody wants the guy that you've got in UC Soros, and yet you're just going to what? Give him away? Everybody wants a guy like Roman Josi in the league. You're going to do what? Just give him away? Or are you going to just let him just sit there and rot on this team? Well, no, you're not going to do that, because, one, you're not going to truly be able to bottom out with those guys. I don't understand the people that still are confused why David is saying that from yesterday. And then coming back with, how could he say that? This team needs to be torn down and start over and try to get that generational player. Well, sure, they would love a generational player, just all of us would love to see a generational player here in Nashville. That'd be great. But what are you going to do with the current roster that you have? So you're just going to give up on your – everybody wants to have that guy. Like I said, I'm going to equate it to a quarterback in the NFL. He's not Mahomes. He's not Rodgers, but he may be Josh Allen. So if you have Josh Allen in net, what are you going to do with him? Just give him away? You're just going to trade him? Like, hey, all right, we're just going to, you know, we'll just stick Connor Ingram back there or whatever. He'll get another backup, just a journeyman, stick him in there. Like, that's your – so you have whoever you identify as one of the best defensemen, best guy on defense in the league. Aaron Donald, I don't know, pick somebody who you believe is right there at the top. Isn't that Roman Josi? So you've got that guy, too, on defense. You're just going to – what? Again, just give him away? You can't let him sit there and rot. You can't keep him. So you're just going to give him away. You have that guy. Again, a guy everybody wants, and you're just going to what? Give him away? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're just going to trade him for draft picks. That's it. Just call it a day? I don't understand that why you would want that plan. And again, what I've said from jump, if that's your idea and that's what you would like for them to do, come back with, okay, with all that being said, now you've just, like, scrapped the whole roster. There's nobody that sells tickets. You're going to still buy tickets? You're still going to watch. You're going to still listen to the broadcast on this radio station? You're still going to turn on the television and watch Willie and Chris Mason? Really? Doesn't sound like a great business plan to me, because my guess is a lot of you are like, yeah, I'll see you when you get good again. It's not a very good business model. Unless you know, if you don't understand that, I guess you've never been in business. That doesn't make any sense to me. All right. By the way, we'll be talking about this with Justin Bradford at 1 o'clock. Penalty Box Radio, they just did their last show. So we'll talk to Justin to begin the final hour. You just made the list at high noon. We'll have fun with that today as well. Former big league pitcher Jared Parker will join us on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with us on this Friday morning. Wow, what a gorgeous day here in Nashville. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at 11 o'clock. Music is appropriate. Former big league pitcher Jared Parker is on the line with us, and we're going to tell you what he's doing. He lives here in town. Jared, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. How did you decide, like about everybody else who's moved to Nashville, to make this your home after baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I had done a few rehab assignments with the Nashville Sounds when I was coming back from a couple injuries, and Nashville is one of those destinations, and I had gotten hurt in 2016, so kind of had the liberty to move where I can heal. So, like I think everybody else, we, you know, packed a bag to come to Nashville for 3 or 4 days and then end up turning around, going home and packing them all up.
Yeah, honk if you've heard that story before in this market. So what are you doing right now involving the sport? Because I know you're heavily involved in baseball and youth baseball here in Nashville.
Yeah, kind of touching all the aspects and just keeping in my lane, per se. But 2018, I opened a facility in Berry Hill, Parker Sports Performance, where we do majority baseball, softball, skill training. We have weight room. We have turf facility where we're able to kind of do it all. We also have classrooms that were donated by the Players Alliance, the program David Price and Tony Kemp are involved with. So we're fortunate to have some resources like that, as well as we've been a part of the expansion initiative with Major League Baseball. Roe Coleman and myself, Roe's my business partner, kind of partner in crime and all this, and he's kind of the connection that's made this thing in Nashville go a little quicker for me with all the resources and network he had built. But now we've become the official youth foundation for the Nashville Stars, and we have three summer teams right now that we're operating out of our program with a 17U group, 13s, and 10U.
Yeah, a kid that picked up with us for a couple tournaments and was in the Tidaway family for years, I believe, is with Donovan. He's playing for your 10U team.
Yes, I believe. Yeah, Donovan Davis is on our
Donovan
team,
Davis.
Our group. He's got a huge arm.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah, I've seen him throw kids out at first on hits to the outfield. So, yes, he's got a cannon. It's a great family. So, good for you guys. What do you see, Jared, that, you know, I see Willie's lived it with his son who's now older, but it, because I see this all the time because, you know, you see all the travel ball sites and just the constant chatter of, you know, what's the right thing to do, what's the not the right thing to do. You're the guy who's lived it. And so everybody has an opinion, but a lot of times opinions are, you know, no offense, but they never played to the level that you did. When it comes to pitching and young arms, what is some of the constant questions you get asked or maybe things that you would like to talk about that people need to take note of?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a multitude of variables we can discuss. But I think at the youth level, it's really important for these baseball players to be athletes. I mean, I'm sure everybody that you bring on here that's competed at the highest level played multiple sports. And if they did, they were, you know, an athlete in baseball. It wasn't just I honestly didn't know what a PO was until I got into this amateur circuit. You know, I'm like, oh, it's a put out. Sweet. I don't know what a pitcher only was. So I'm sitting here trying to figure that out, as well as just, I mean, being with my background, I'm over cautious with building these guys up and being smart with pitch counts and never pushing them. You know, I'm fortunate to realize the baseball knowledge that I learned along the way to understand high leverage innings, you know, long innings, sitting down for a while, just stuff that affects these kids and the human body that kind of happens just inside the game. So I think having a grasp on that and helping these kids to understand that it's not, you know, just to throw the baseball. There's a whole foundation of movement and, you know, activity and running, jumping, sprinting, everything you can possibly do, it applies to baseball. You know, I think the nowadays kids all want to specialize, but there's a way to do it and be special. I think, you know, it's continuing to be a teammate of all other sports. It helps to build your character. It helps to teach you responsibility. You know, there's integrity involved when your coach is turned around. How, you know, what kind of person are you? I think that's like the main focus for Ro and I, is just, you know, obviously the health and the fitness and the physical stuff we have a grasp on and we really focus on, but for us it's creating that, you know, mentorship, but like, you know, mental warriors that are kind of able to lead their peers, but also are constantly grasping for more knowledge. You know, I think that's, we always offer that as a key, is like, you know, closed mouths don't get fed around here. There's a lot of resources and there's a lot of people with knowledge that are more than willing to give it out. I think everyone in our program wants the kids in our program to succeed more than we do. And I think that's where our efforts kind of run wild, and, you know, whether it's quiet or not, that's what we're about.
Jared Parker is with us. Great stuff that he's doing here in our community with young baseball players. Jared, one thing that, you know, I observe a lot, and that is how much, just specific to pitching, how much velocity is something that is valued, chased, and I see every year, it seems like at the big league level on down, you watch college baseball, it seems like more and more kids are able to throw harder. Give us your philosophy on that. And, you know, how what's the right way to attain and try to grow in the velocity department? And are we getting a little too carried away with velocity at younger ages? Is there a price to be paid there?
I think there's definitely a price to be paid. I mean, we're seeing more growth plate injuries, more bone fractures, more stuff that is a direct result of overloading a kid. I mean, it's, you know, I don't need a medical degree. I've been in plenty of, you know, rehab therapy environments to learn and ask the questions to where this makes sense. You know, I think to train to throw harder and like you said, chase velocity, we're not really about that. I think for us, it's chasing consistency. If you're consistent and you're buying into this program that's, you know, it's constantly evolving. We know that with sports and sports medicine, but it's something, if you're consistently doing the things that are baseball specific and, you know, almost prescribed for you as a player and pitcher, those are the results you're going to gain. We're big on not chasing that in-game result. It's kind of like taking care of each and every day. You know, 1% a day, if you can get better for us, is like one of our main goals to get, you know, get these kids to stop thinking so much about chasing a number or a stat or an average or home runs. It's more or less just chasing consistency.
Well, that's it. I wish more people would would join forces with you on that. I completely agree with you, Jared. So what do you see in terms of the hunger and the game of baseball trying to capture as many people as you can? That's something from the top down that I think all of us who love the game would like to see, is that maybe a renewed interest from a lot of different layers of any particular city and across the country, more people wanting to play the game. It seems like baseball is finally trying to do some things with the pace of play, the action plays, the things like that. Where do you see it going from here?
I'm a nerd, so I'm going to say, like, I see this metaverse Web3, you know, kind of that whole getting more people that aren't sports fans able to, you know, whether they're watching games or they're a part of the experience. You know, in essence, it's really creating that updated fan experience where it's not, you know, popcorn, you know, get your popcorn, that kind of stuff is, you know, it's kind of played out. So I think it's finding, you know, Japan does it right with a lot of their events and their, you know, home run derbies and their competitive skill stuff to show off the true skills that set, you know, the 1-2% of baseball players aside at the highest level is something that I think would draw a huge attention. You know, we obviously love watching highlights, and that's where our attention goes. So let's show what the highlights are built. You know, how these guys can hit the ball wherever they want every single time. It's not that, you know, that's the case. These guys are skilled beyond just a simple result or a stat. So I think it kind of goes back to what our motto is like, you know, creating exciting baseball, but doing it where, you know, the fans are involved. The experience is community. I think it's growth and not creating so much separation of baseball. You know, the top is broke, the travel ball system's broke, so it's finding some sort of bridge to narrow that gap of, you know, America's pastime becoming America's future.
Yeah, good stuff. Jared, really appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again. Man, we could pick your brain on a lot of things, and summer months are the perfect time to do it, especially with baseball in full swing. Good luck with everything moving forward. Keep up the good work in our community, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Appreciate you having me, guys.
All right, that is former big league pitcher Jared Parker joining us, and you just heard it. Did a rehab stint with the Sounds. He was in the A's organization here in Nashville, and like a lot of people said, you know what, this place is pretty cool. I think I'm going to move here. And now,
gotta love that.
He lives here.
Trying to make things better for a lot of people, not just build baseball players, but it sounds like he's got something bigger in mind. And you got to be, if you don't know Roe Coleman's story, you know, the guy he's working with that he referred to, that's a great story too. Played on the national championship team for the Commodores back in 2014. Had an outstanding career. That's another guy that's in it for more than just what happens on the field. That's great stuff they're doing.
We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of the DDC next. Back here on the DDC, good stuff from Jared Parker. Enjoyed that. I just love that, again, the hidden gem, right, of all these major guys who played in the major leagues that just live here. I hear, Willie, and I'm sure you do too, I hear names all the time. I'm like, what? They live here? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to stop being surprised. By the way, Jared Parker's been here for years. He didn't just move here. But it's just amazing. And, you know, you've watched, just like me, over the last 25 years, just how this market has grown, right, when it comes to that sport. And certainly Tim Corbin exposed how good this market really was, right? The hidden gem that it had become. Now everybody knows it. Now Tony Vitello and everybody else is trying to get in here and get these recruits. But look at how many kids came out of this area, out of the Middle Tennessee area, to go on and play high-level Division I baseball. It's amazing.
It's quite the fraternity. It's been pretty awesome. And what's great for our community is the larger that number gets, as those guys finish up playing and move forward, they're only going to help the game of baseball grow in our area. And there's just a lot to be taught to the next generation. So, I mean, that's just great for our community. It still is amazing to me. I was thinking about this the other day. I went and watched Vanderbilt play Middle Tennessee. MTSU's having a pretty good year. And what's cool about it, and it's not that different from what they've always done, but I always like to see a good baseball team that's comprised of mostly kids that played in the mid-state, their high school. If you look at their roster, it's sprinkled all over with Spring Hill and Riverdale and just on down the list of teams in our listening area. That's where the vast majority of their players played. So that's cool, you know, and they're doing well. So that means the product, you know, the group, the way the game's being taught, we're producing a lot of good players in our area. That's cool.
Well, we've seen, you know, how many times have we been covering the Little League World Series and, you know, the teams that come out of here, which has been, again, a lot of fun.
Yeah. In fact, there was one of those that was watching. He was playing second base for Middle Tennessee the other night.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Eston Snyder
for MTSU, yes.
His mom used to work for the Predators. I remember when Chris Mercado was coaching that group. You know, it just seems like yesterday that they were in Williamsport. Now, a lot of those guys are playing college ball right now.
We might have a pitching matchup in Vandy LSU Saturday between two of the South Nashville Williamsport guys, Chris McElvain for Vandy and Blake Money for LSU. LSU still has announced a starter, so I'm hoping they go with the two Summit boys.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. Yeah, high school teammates, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Both went to Summit. Chris definitely did.
Yeah, Blake did for sure. Yeah. I've known Blake since he was that age, like, because his younger brothers were playing
cash
with my
money.
Son. Yeah,
Cash Money.
Logan
the
and Cash.
Star of the Little League World Series.
Awesome.
Did anybody see yesterday's afternoon game in at Coors Field between the Rockies and the Giants?
I was watching the Mets, but so I did not.
The fair ball that went down the line to the ball boy, hey, picked it up and threw it in the stands.
Oh, it was a fair ball?
Yeah. Giants outfielder came over and was like, what are you doing, man?
I've seen a couple clips lately where a kid gets a foul ball.
Actually, that was the Rockies.
It's the Rockies ball boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was the Rockies outfielder that came over.
Did they give it a ground rule double? How did they score that?
Yeah, I would assume so. And it would not have been I don't think it would have been a double.
Ouch.
They probably award, yes.
I've seen the clips lately where a youngster gets a foul ball, he gets really excited, then he chucks it back onto the field.
Well, that video has been out there too recently where they got the home run ball and he gave it to his kid and the kid just threw it right out into the field.
It seems like it's happened multiple times. Like, what's happening? I guess the kids just love to throw. That didn't used to happen, or maybe at least it wasn't caught on tape.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what changed things. I don't know. Good stuff, though, from Jared Parker. We'll come back and get Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. We'll talk a little NFL with him. We haven't had a chance to catch up with Tim this week. But first, before we do that, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You know, you've heard me talk about them for a good while now, and I know a lot of you have checked them out. A lot of you are going there because they're helping you become healthier and happier, too. They're improving your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. That's why I've been going there. Weight loss management may be something on your mind right now with the warm temperatures and the pools opening. And hey, maybe you'd like to shed a couple unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and products and people. They've got a very experienced staff there that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it becomes challenging as we age. Well, their staff can talk about PRP, hair removal, and Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Have you had your levels checked? Have you been feeling off lately? You haven't had the same drive or the same energy or experiencing mood swings, and you're like, what the heck is going on? Well, may need to talk to their staff about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. That can affect you when your levels go down. These are just some of the things they do under one roof. It's a state-of-the-art facility there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you need to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, where you can always pick up the phone, schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.